This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
A lot going on this morning as we get ready for the Masters Part 3. All the coverage will be on ESPN, ESPN Plus. The Masters starts this morning. We also have the latest with Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks as Adrian Wojnarowski this morning reporting about the injury that Giannis suffered last night in a win against the Boston Celtics. He hurt his calf. And it was just literally a non-contact walking injury up the court as Dame was trying to bring up the ball against Derek White of Boston. Woj tweets this morning, after an MRI, Giannis's left Achilles tendon is fully intact and his return to play will come with how quickly his left calf strain heals. Sources tell ESPN. 11-year NFL player Chris Canty, what does this mean?
Well, it means that we're probably not going to see Giannis at 100% the rest of the way. That's what it means. I mean, a calf strain is not something that goes away quickly. That's something that lingers. I don't care what degree it is, what level it is. I guess they grade them 1, 2, 3. And I will tell you, as somebody that has had a calf strain, it takes a while. I mean, I remember my first year with the New York Giants, 2009. I injured my calf in week 2. I wasn't back in the starting lineup until week 13. So it's 2 months. Now, I don't know that Giannis is that severe. We're still waiting on that information from the MRI and for the team to report back. But based on what I saw last night, there's no way that you can expect Giannis to be 100% once the first round of the playoffs rolls around. And if he's not, what does that mean for the Milwaukee Bucks? It means they're probably going to be one and done based on the way that that team's played over the last couple of months.
Yeah, not only does that lead you to believe that, but when your coach a couple of weeks ago was coming out saying road games are lacking professionalism, that tells me that the team isn't where they need to be on many different levels. So having Giannis have this injury and you don't know if he's going to be, obviously he's not going to be 100% if he comes back, but you don't know the degree of which he's going to be okay if he comes back, it doesn't garner a lot of confidence when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks and their chances in the playoffs. Nah.
The other thing to update everybody on today is Adam Schefter has reported this morning that the Jacksonville Jaguars and their stud outside linebacker pass rusher Josh Allen reached an agreement. He was on the franchise tag. What is happening to me?
You're just dropping some letters here and there. Sorry.
Franchise tag previously, and he agrees on a 5-year, $150 million deal that includes $88 million guaranteed. So I believe we have two players left now that are on the franchise tag that have not figured out what's going to happen so far this season or this upcoming season. That would be T. Higgins with Cincinnati and Antoine Winfield with the Bucks. Correct? Those are the only two left. Yeah. Is this a good deal for both? Obviously, it's a good deal for Allen. Is it a good deal for the Jaguars?
Outstanding deal. I mean, pass rushers don't grow on trees, man, and this guy can absolutely get after it. Now, they did their due diligence. They made him play out the string. He played every single year as rookie contract and a fifth-year option. They had the tag on him as a placeholder, $24 million. They get to lower that cap hit this upcoming season, and that's probably a good thing this offseason because we know the big thing that's looming out there is the Trevor Lawrence contract extension. Trevor Lawrence is first year eligible for a contract extension. They would probably like to do that deal sooner rather than later because it's only going to get more expensive for him. So to me, this is a prelude to being able to extend their franchise quarterback for the foreseeable future.
All right. You said something before about Elly De La Cruz.
Yeah.
Of the Cincinnati Reds. That is an amazing statement to make on so many levels. Why? Well, we love being on so many great stations across the country, right? Mm-hmm. That's awesome for us. And DJ Hodge, who runs our Cincinnati station, is actually coming in to visit us today and meet us. He wants to meet. It's an amazing thing. So what do you do, Chris Canty, on the day that he's coming in here? You say that the Cincinnati Reds don't deserve Elly De La Cruz?
Yes. I'm not saying the fans don't deserve him because the fans do. For bearing with that franchise that has been miserable for the better part of the last decade and a half, yeah, the fans deserve something to cheer for. I'm just not sure that ownership deserves that. Especially with the way that they've treated those fans in that area in recent. Like last year, I remember Phil Castellini, the owner of the Suns, the owner's son.
He's a team president.
I'm wearing off on you now.
For the Cincinnati Reds, the owner's son came out and said, yeah, if the fans don't like the product on the field, tough luck, what else are they going to do? That is no way to treat people that patronize your business when you are a sports and entertainment product. I just think that the fans deserve it, the ownership not so much.
All right, so if that is the basis of where we're looking at, and we're going to look at teams, fans, cities, whatever, that don't deserve what they're getting, players or coaches, are there other people that you think of that you would say
Boy,
other players.
Yeah. Players or, I mean,
other
yeah.
players. Yeah.
Other players.
Well, that okay. don't, go ahead, finish
I'm saying the athletes or coaches who deserve better.
There's one that pops in my mind more than anybody else. And I know it's a small sample size, but I think Bryce Young certainly deserved better than what he got in Carolina last year. I mean, they went 2-15. The scheme didn't really fit him. The personnel certainly wasn't there for him. There was so much dysfunction internally. You have Frank Reich, who was fired after a 1-10 start. How is anyone supposed to be able to have success in that environment? C.J. Stroud, who was obviously taken after Bryce Young, goes on to Houston and is able to have a lot of success. But when you see the way that that offense was built, he went into a much better situation. I don't even know if somebody like C.J. Stroud would have been able to overcome the circumstances that Bryce Young was dealt. So I think he deserved better than what he got last year.
Yeah, I think he was given a really rough time, and I think many people have written him off already. And I don't think that's fair. I don't know that he's ever going to be C.J. Stroud. I also don't know that C.J. Stroud this year is going to be C.J. Stroud last year, right? Like, he was so good last year that living up to himself is going to be difficult. Is there another player that you would throw out there, CeCe, in addition to L.A. De La Cruz?
Yeah, Jalen Brunson from the New York Knicks. He deserves better. Now, it's not through any fault of his own,
okay.
Of the Knicks own or trying to, but, I mean, not having guys in the lineup, whether it's Julius Randle or Mitchell Robinson, like, all of the injuries that that team has had to be dealing with, and yet Jalen Brunson has absolutely carried him. I mean, last night, another 40-point performance. This guy is a monster. He's fourth in terms of scoring on a per-game basis in the league behind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Luka Doncic. I mean, he is absolutely a monster. He deserves MVP consideration. Now, he's not going to win it. He's probably not going to get a ton of votes. And he's probably going to be looking at a first-round exit based on who they're going to draw, whether it's the Miami Heat or the Philadelphia 76ers. So, yeah, Jalen Brunson deserves better, and I'm hoping that the Knicks give it to him this offseason in the way of being able to bring in another star to play alongside him. Because what they got right now just ain't good enough based on how good Jalen Brunson has been since they brought him over from Dallas.
Well, I'm going to give you somebody that I know nobody outside of maybe his family will agree with, but I believe that Russell Wilson deserves better.
Oh, my God.
Why is that?
He's blamed for everything. What did he do that was so wrong?
Evan. We told you what he did.
Michelle.
We told you what he did.
He's blamed for everything.
Well, maybe.
Everyone hates on him.
He made himself an easy target, though.
Evan.
He deserves better.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Where's the keys to my office? Where's my family's parking spots? Where's their private bathroom? I'm better than everybody else. Come on.
At least Mike Tomlin knows what's up.
Let me get a golf cart at the Pro Bowl.
You know who deserves better?
When everybody else is walking off the field. I need a golf cart to drive me off.
No. You know who deserved better? Pete Carroll. Because
Pete Carroll deserves
because
better.
Russell Wilson, the way that that ended in Seattle, Pete Carroll deserved better.
Oh, if we're going for X people, which camera am I looking at for my Belichick defense, which will last until the end of Sports
Night
All
Night?
He deserved better. You don't think Belichick deserved better?
Evan, how was the team the past two years? Were they good?
What did Gerard Mayo and L.A. Wolf do? Only re-sign all of Belichick's guys.
They weren't good, though. You are what your record says you
they
are.
They had a bad quarterback.
And by the way, I said that Tom Brady was done. That's what Bill Belichick did. I said that Tom Brady was done, tried to get him up out of there. And what did Tom Brady do once he left New England?
Won a Super Bowl.
Promptly won a championship the very next year.
Oh, so you mean it's like Tom Brady could have been treated a little
Tom
better.
Tom Brady might have deserved a little better.
Could have been treated a little better by Bill Belichick.
Why wasn't he treated better at the end of New England? It wasn't because of Robert Kraft. Who was it because of? Go ahead and say it.
No, you guys
go ahead and say,
it. That's fine. I'm a Washington Husky now, right? Belichick is there.
Oh, boy.
That's what we're doing. Give me my Washington Husky hoodie. I'm with Bill. Pat Chun, Bill Belichick, let's go Huskies.
I don't know how you have taken this segment where we're talking about people that have deserved better.
You
and
did
you
it.
Somehow spin this into Bill Belichick.
Belichick had a quarter of a century as a head coach.
You have totally missed the mark on this one.
You brought up Pete Carroll. You opened up the door.
Because you brought up Russell Wilson.
Why can't I bring up Russell Wilson?
You brought up ridiculous.
Jalen Brunson deserves better than
Nick. He does deserve better.
No, he doesn't.
How does
Jalen Brunson
better?
Is the focal point of a team when he's probably the second best player on a championship team,
Russell.
And they've given him the best player.
We got to stop saying that about Jalen Brunson. I swear people go there because of how it looks.
Because
of the rapper. But, I mean, listen, Jalen Brunson is a hell of a player.
He is.
He's a hell of a player.
You just picked him to lose in the first round.
Yeah, because it's only him.
Well,
it's only him out there. What? Tell me the one guy, regardless of the other four players that are on the court at the same time, that's going to win a championship. There ain't a whole lot of those dudes out there.
I get it. All right. We're opening up to you guys. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776.
Russell Wilson.
You know what? Our ears deserve better because I had to listen to Broncos Country Let's Ride and Mr. Unlimited.
What? You have massive earrings, speaking of ears. Those are nice earrings.
Stay
massive.
Focused, man.
I am. She's talking about her ears.
Stay focused.
Mediums. Not that big. They're not that big. You have like their door knockers over here. By the way, really quickly.
Love me a door knocker.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's a door knocker?
Don't worry
really
about
big
it.
Ones. Don't, yeah, worry, don't about worry about it.
Oh,
about it.
Earrings.
If you know, you know.
I was like, we have one over there at that door?
I felt the way that CeCe feels about Ellie De La Cruz and the Reds about Joey Votto for a long time. Yeah. I thought that he deserved better, and I would have liked him to be in a situation where he had a chance to win. I wanted Joey Votto to be freed from Cincinnati for a long time.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get your phone calls in. I'm sure everybody's lining up to defend Russell Wilson as they always are.
Yeah.
The athletes are coaches.
Let me tell you what they're not doing.
Is there going to be one person that will support my Russell Wilson deserves better?
I love how you somehow spun this into Russell Wilson and Bill Belichick.
Why can't I answer the question?
Since we're bringing up Russell Wilson, you know who deserves better? Mike Tomlin.
Oh, boy.
Mike Tomlin deserves better quarterback play.
You know who else deserves better? Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy.
He's won a Super Bowl. He consistently puts out double-digit win seasons.
I'm in on that.
We act like he's the worst coach ever.
Are we willing to go there with Dak Prescott? Does he deserve better?
He absolutely deserves better.
No.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
All right. Save
now
it,
we're
Pat.
Getting ridiculous.
Save it, Pat. We'll get to it coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's always a surprise when I meet somebody new and they're shocked that I'm a big person.
Oh, you know how many times that has happened to me about you since we've been working together?
But I don't understand, though. I played in the NFL for over a decade.
You did?
That's my point.
No, you
I
are.
I don't get it.
You don't realize. Like, I don't feel like you're tall now.
Uh-huh.
Because I do.
You, well, you even.
So I was like, I do.
Every day I do.
I don't know. I'm so used to being around you. But when we had the Barrett Sports Media Conference a couple of weeks ago, when we were at this party, two hosts came up to me and said, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, do what? They go, he's so tall. Like, how do you guys all fit in that studio? I was like, well, we actually don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we don't.
Yeah. I mean, literally, Jonathan Zaslow, who's on ESPN Radio, said that to me, who hosted the WrestleMania show with Pat.
Yep.
And your favorite host in the country, Theo Dorsey, ESPN West Palm.
My guy.
It's like, wow, he is tall.
Yeah.
And DJ Hodge, who runs Cincinnati.
Just had DJ Hodge coming here. He's like,
actually,
man, you're a big guy. And I'm just like, well, yeah. It helped out in my former line of work.
Yeah.
You still look at him and say he's so tall?
Evan, I'm 5'4".
I know, but you get
used
to it,
don't
you?
Him.
I don't know. I get used to it, I think.
I get used to it when we're sitting here. Yeah. It doesn't feel like you're that tall, but every day when we stand up to leave, I'm like, oh, wow.
He is a big guy.
Do you feel like you're tall?
No.
Has anyone...
No, but I mean, listen, my mom is 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
So, everybody in my family is tall.
Have you ever stood next to someone regularly that made you feel short?
Yes.
Who's that?
Shaquille O'Neal. I always tell my wife Mel this all the time. Me standing next to Shaq is like her standing next to me.
Mm.
Like, that's how big Shaq is. That is a large human being.
And our boss, Justin Craig, in his office, has this big signed Shaq shoe. I don't know when it's from. And you walk in the office.
Isn't it like a size 22?
Exactly. You walk in the office, and I'm not kidding. And Justin has a nice office in Bristol, Connecticut, and it kind of overlooks like the entire campus. And half the office is Shaq's shoe.
Yeah.
It's really what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to some phone calls here. A lot of people want to weigh in on how much they feel badly for Russell Wilson. Thomas in Texas, listening on 92.3. What's up, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm saying Mike Trout deserves better. I mean, my God, the Angels organization is a dumpster fire.
Are you okay, Smalls?
Yeah, sorry, I just accidentally.
Saying Mike Trout deserves better.
No, he doesn't.
He absolutely does not deserve better. He elected to be there.
Yeah, I'm just saying he should get himself out. And
He doesn't want out.
He wants to stay there. He wants to remain as anonymous as possible.
Yeah, I agree with Smalls and CCL. Like, I don't see how you can say that, and thanks for the phone call, that Mike Trout deserves better when Mike Trout has exactly what he wants. We all may say, hey, that's not what we would want, but he has every right to say that. I don't put him on that list at all in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he's got Stockholm Syndrome. Like, it's the inverse of the squatting laws that Pat Costello is trying to take advantage of. Like, he could leave, but he doesn't want to. Like, he just doesn't want to. He just wants to stay out there in baseball obscurity and stack his millions. And I just think that we have to judge him differently, because if he's volunteering to do this in the prime of his career,
correct,
then why shouldn't we hold him to the same standard as other players that we're going to view as all-time greats, guys that are going to go into Cooperstown first ballot?
Many times people get ripped for asking out. I think Mike Trout is the only athlete in history that will not get ripped if he says publicly, or if he says to the Angels, I'd like to go home. I'd like to go back to Philly. I'd like to play for the Phillies.
I don't care if he goes home or not. I just want him to go somewhere where he can contend. I want to see him in the playoffs.
You ain't got to go home, but you need to get the hell out of there.
Correct. I just want to see him in the playoffs.
But everybody gets ripped for that. I don't think anybody would rip him.
No, nobody would.
Exactly.
We're being critical because he won't do it.
Right.
I think it's got Damian Lillard vibes to it, where you gave everything you could to the organization. You knew that you have reached this point where it's not going to work out there, and you have a finite amount of time left in your career to go somewhere where you can actually win. Some people criticize Damian Lillard, but I think most of us understood where he was coming from.
Yeah.
He couldn't have been a better soldier for Portland. And I think Mike Trout is there. I got to tell you, I look at Shohei Ohtani, and he obviously got $700 million from the Dodgers, but he went somewhere where he would have a chance to win. Mike Trout did not do that.
Yeah, but I guess there's a different level of pressure that comes along with putting yourself in a situation where you got a chance to win. Right now, he's in baseball anonymity, right? Like, nobody is locked in on Anaheim Angels games. We're just not. Like, and so I think if he puts himself in a situation like the Dodgers or like the Phillies or like one of the New York teams, all of a sudden the spotlight becomes much more intense, and the expectation is that he, because he's an individually great player, would elevate that team to the championship levels. If he doesn't do that, then he opens the door to a different level of criticism that he has not seen throughout his career.
But isn't that a marker of greatness, that you not only want to be in those situations, but you want to overcome them?
It absolutely is, which is why I'm being critical of him not asking out now, because he's shying away from it. He don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want that kind of pressure.
Bill in Delaware, listening on 97.3, the athlete or coach that deserves better.
I think it's Joe Flacco, guys. That man single-handedly was in his sweats on the couch drinking a beer. He got called, and he went to the Browns and literally made them legit and competitive again. And when you have teams like the Patriots, who need a starting quarterback, the Raiders, and even the Vikings, they could have all signed that man to be their starter for this year and sat their rookie quarterback, whoever those guys are going to get, and let them sit for a year, and then play for next year. And the next thing I got to say before I leave is three things. Smalls, you're killing me, Smalls. Evan Almighty, if you build it, they will come. And CeCe, Happy New. Thanks, guys.
Happy New Year to CeCe. Hates the Happy New Year 2 days after, so we have vowed that we're going to all year say Happy New Year to CeCe.
I can't believe this is still a thing. We're in April. People are still doing it.
Give it a few months. We're still doing it. There's no question we're still doing it. Boy, Flacco, you could have given me a million guesses as to what fans of the show would say, and I never would have said Joe Flacco deserves better.
You pick Russell Wilson and Bill Belichick. How did you not think Joe Flacco could be in the mix?
What part of it deserves better? Like, we knew the Browns weren't going to re-sign him because he was too good.
Yeah, but this is a guy that, despite winning a Super Bowl, we still dismiss in a lot of ways, or we don't put him on that same level. And for him to be able to do what he did with the Browns this year, I think Joe Flacco deserves a little bit more credit than maybe collectively football fans have given him.
Yeah, but he's going into year 16, and he's just got a one-year, $4.5 million deal. Joe Flacco is fine.
With a team that had an injured quarterback last year.
Joe Flacco has been fairly compensated for everything he's done in the National Football League.
He's been compensated.
He's good.
But they went through, what, five quarterbacks this year? It took Joe Flacco coming off the couch for them to be in the best position that they've been in. That deserves a little more credit in my book.
Chuck in Virginia, and she's in a book club on 94.1.
A great one.
What's up, Chuck?
Well, I definitely agree with Michelle about Joey Votto. Joey Votto was probably one of my favorite ball players in the past decade. He's just played the game and always has a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. He reminded me of what the game is. He was a kid when he was playing.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree with the owner comments, because the owner comments were definitely out of taste. And Happy New Year.
Appreciate the call, Chuck. But, I mean, yeah, everybody roots for Joey Votto, right? Like, he was one of those guys that was a good soldier for a long time, MVP mm-hmm. player, gold glove guy. But, you know, he just never had an opportunity to compete at a championship level, because you knew ownership was not going to spend what it took to put the requisite supporting cast around him. And it's unfortunate, but you get a lot of owners like that in baseball, and that's something that Rob Manfred or whoever the next commissioner needs to be about the business of trying to change.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a crazy question about somebody that deserves better? Is there an argument that Steph Curry has deserved better the last couple of years? Because and I love Draymond, but because of his actions.
They won 4 championships and they got to 6 finals.
Because if you think it's great when you're winning, you can't also then say, I deserve better when it's not.
Fair. I'm just saying, like, that is someone.
Yeah, because he's enabled the behavior of Draymond Green.
Yeah, you can't accept it until you're not having the same amount of success.
The only reason they gave him the contract extension a couple years ago is because Steph wanted Draymond around. And, the only reason.
And Klay Thompson was unbelievable with Draymond on his podcast, basically saying, on the volume, saying that we need you. You can't act like this. Like, we really need you. Unlock so much
of it. But it's not like somebody is having this conversation with Draymond for the first time. Like, he is a repeat offender.
I know.
If you want to talk about habitual line steppers in sports, he's at the top of the list. You can look it up in the dictionary. Habitual line stepper. A picture of Draymond Green right next to the New England Patriots. Like, that is what it is.
They are together.
Habitual
on that
line steppers. Yep. That's what it is.
But only one cheats.
Oh, wait. We have to go to break. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Los Angeles Dodgers.
A year after a quiet offseason, the Dodgers dove into the deep end with 2 record-setting deals this winter, including a 12-year, $325 million contract for Japanese right-hander Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Because Shohei Ohtani won't pitch in 2024 due to an elbow injury, the Dodgers needed to bolster their rotation and landed the prize pitcher of free agency in Yamamoto after inking Ohtani to a 10-year, $700 million deal to DH in 2024. Yamamoto comes to the United States after winning Japan's version of the Cy Young, the Sawamura Award, in each of the last 3 seasons. His decorated career in Nippon Professional Baseball also included 5 All-Star appearances, 3 Pacific League MVPs, and a Japan Series title in 2022. The Dodgers are hoping he can bring that postseason success to an organization that struggled in October with just 1 World Series title despite the highest payroll in the sport and division titles in 10 of 11 seasons. Yamamoto is only 25 and could be a big part of the Dodgers staff in 2024 and beyond, including when Ohtani joins him on the mound in 2025.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by Tax Act. Let's get them over with.
Old Faces, New Places, brought to you by Tax Act. Let's get them over with. Smalls, Yamamoto, Dodgers got off to a rocky start with the game against the Padres in the Seoul Series. Can you make the argument that he's the third most interesting pitcher that they've acquired now? Because Tyler Glasnow last night had 14 strikeouts in 7 innings. And oh, by the way, Ohtani, they have as well, not pitching this year.
Not pitching, right.
Give us a thought on Yamamoto here.
Well, obviously in the Seoul Series, there was some concern about him because of his first outing. But he changed his glove position, which added to more effective delivery and a little bit more deception for the opposition. And he looked pretty good against the Cardinals and the Cubs, I have to say. Combined 10 innings, struck out 13, only surrendered a run. So I think it's working for him. That change in the glove position.
Yeah.
That's so interesting that that would make that much of a difference. But
well, batters can pick up on it. Yeah. They can see it. Yeah. If they can see the rotation of the ball, the sooner they can, the better chance that they're going to have to be able to make contact.
We do have some additional breaking news. We've had a lot of breaking news during our show today, which is great. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Eagles will play the Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on Friday, September 6th. My son's birthday. Happy birthday. The day after the NFL season kicks off on Thursday night. So we have a Thursday night game. And then we have the Eagles and the Packers in Brazil. Did you ever play anywhere outside of the United States?
No, never did.
Would you have, like, retroactively, do you wish you would have?
Yeah, absolutely. Or could have, I should say? The experience to go play across the pond in London or play in Germany, and now they're having games in South America. I think it's awesome that the NFL is expanding. Oh, let me not forget Mexico City, one of the best food cities in the world. Like, I would have loved to have an opportunity to play in the international series. I remember back in the day, like, this is in the 90s in the NFL, they used to do preseason games overseas, and that was, I guess, a thing, and then they cut back on that. But the fact that they're doing this now, I'm excited about it. I mean, more football, the better. If we can have football, not just Thursday night to kick off the season, but Friday going into the weekend, that is awesome.
Wait a minute. You just opened up a whole different can of worms here. I was talking about the international series. You're talking about the days of the week. You want Friday night football in the NFL to go against high school football? You think the NFL would ever do that? It's odd as it sounds. Well, I don't think they care about college football, the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball. High school football is actually the one thing that I think the NFL actually cares about not scheduling against.
Why?
I think that's the purity of the game. I still think there's a respect of, like, the high school, the local towns, the communities, and it's not a big business in theory and competition with them, even though obviously here on ESPN we air high school games because they're so relevant now in the recruiting process. But I don't think the NFL will ever look at high school as direct competition, whereas college football, NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL, they do.
Well,
even though there's no competition.
They didn't always look at college football that way, but it became too lucrative for them not to get involved with football on Saturdays and Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Like before, Thursday nights used to be for college football.
No doubt.
That was a primetime game.
No doubt.
And now it's the NFL. They own that. And so I don't think anything is off limits. There are no sacred cows when it comes to the NFL because they're all about the coin. They're all about the bottom line.
Absolutely.
And if there is the interest, if they can monetize it, if the media rights deals get to a point – which they're going to now, where it just becomes worth it for them, they're going to explore putting football on pretty much whatever day of the week that makes the most sense from a financial standpoint.
How many days is too many? How many days where it's too much, where we oversaturate and reduce the buildup to the weekly game?
Oversaturation in the NFL is an oxymoron.
So 7 days a week.
Think about it. They expanded the calendar. We're talking about NFL in April. Ain't no games been played since February. And we're going to continue to talk about it.
But 7 days a week, you think we could have NFL football?
Well, we kind of had that with COVID. When they had the COVID rules and they had to reschedule games, did anybody get tired of it?
So basically, we're saying Netflix on a Monday, or not Monday, ESPN is Monday, but like Netflix on a Tuesday, Prime on a Thursday, Hulu on a Wednesday. Like, we're just going to say all the streaming services are going to bid, and the NFL won't care at that point.
If we had football.
Why did I go Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday?
If we had football Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, I don't think anybody would think that's too much. I don't think anybody would think that's too much.
I don't know. Because I think part of the beauty of the NFL and why people love it so much is that they really only have typically one day to lock into. Monday night feels special because it's the marquee game where everyone's watching. Thursday night, a lot of people watch Thursday night football, but it doesn't carry the same cachet that Monday night football does. But I just think that the NFL has to be careful because I think oversaturation, even though it is so all-encompassing in our society, I think that they have to tread lightly because there could be oversaturation.
I would have said that 5 years ago, but the emergence of sports gambling and being legalized betting in all of these different states, more states than not, I think that changes the math. Because you have tens of millions of people that are interested in every single NFL game. When you have daily fantasy, when you have fantasy football, all of these other interests beyond just being a fan of the team or the individual player, I think it changes it because now there's extra incentive to pay attention to those games. So, I mean, there are a lot of people that would say, hey, you know what? I actually prefer to have a few more standalone games in the NFL calendar just so I can lock in. And they're not all of these games going on all at once where it makes it hard to follow.
Yeah, the one that I actually think that I, if like you said, hey, add another day, but you got to trade it for something, I would actually be fine with the idea of adding another day and then trading it for Sunday Night Football. I know that I'm not in on Sunday Night Football as much. We don't need it. We have all this football during the day. I'd rather spread that out to something else. Especially doing a morning show. I'm fine with that, selfishly, right?
Now, see, you're interfering with my Sunday calendar, my Sunday schedule. Like, during the fall.
Well, you're interfering with my Fridays.
Well, during the fall, I mean, it's great for me because it's like, all right, I've got the 1 o'clock game. I'm all set up for that. I get a chance to eat, enjoy my smorgasbord when it comes to wings and pizza and all the different things. Take a nap right around the second quarter of the second game in that 4 o'clock window.
What?
Wake up and catch
you
the
– You take a nap during the Sunday games?
I do. I have a built-in nap time.
How long is the nap?
Well, during the NFL games?
The nap, I'm waking up to catch the fourth quarter of the second game. Gotcha. And then that makes sure that I'm charged up and ready to go for Sunday Night Football.
I have not said this one time since we started the show. I really hope my wife is not listening right now. Because I say that Sundays are off limits for anything. It is completely unfair. The kids are with her the entire day. I sit there in my basement from, 1 p.m. Eastern till midnight, basically, not moving. You get a nap? Because now what's going to happen is...
Well, yeah, I get a nap.
Canty gets a nap. Why can't we do this? Why can't you take them
there? Well, I don't really miss a whole lot, right? Because I'm talking about somewhere in the second quarter, I take a nap. You got halftime. You got the third quarter. I wake up to catch the fourth quarter. And guess what? Anything that I missed in the third quarter, they're going to recap in the fourth quarter while the game is going on.
For sure.
Exactly. So I don't miss anything. And post-game, too. I don't miss anything.
So what time can I do something else this year? Can I give... So that's like...
So you're probably talking about 5:45-ish? Yeah, somewhere around then.
So I could have dinner with my family.
5:45-ish? Yeah, exactly.
Evan, you can have dinner with your family.
I don't remember the last time I did on a Sunday. I sit there all day and I don't talk
to
them.
See, that's the thing, Ev. I think you have the wrong game plan when it comes to your NFL experience in the fall.
I watch everything.
I think you have the wrong game plan.
All right, what's the right game plan?
No, I just gave it to you.
That's it?
I just
gave it to
you. That's a great game plan. Have dinner with your family.
Go through this again. So, okay. So 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. full watching everything, right? Yeah. I'm watching the end of the 1 p.m. Eastern games, and I'm watching the beginning of the 4 p.m. Eastern games.
There you go.
Then roughly 4:35 o'clock area.
5:30, you're taking a nap.
And then you wake back up to watch the entirety of Sunday Night Football.
Well, I wake back up to watch the fourth quarter.
Yeah, of the second
of the
4 slate.
O'clock game. Then I got Sunday Night Football.
Shocked.
You realize,
shocked by
too,
this.
That you could have dinner with your family and have the game on in the background,
I
right?
cannot, no. No, I can't. I have to focus and concentrate.
That's wild. That's a choice you're making. Yeah. You can. Yeah, you're making a different choice.
You're making a choice, yeah, at that point.
So you're saying I'm too committed.
I just don't understand why you were out on adding an extra day of NFL in the fall.
Because I want to go out on a Friday, CC. I want to have a life. I don't want the NFL. They already dominate an entire season of my life. They dominate the fall. Don't take my Friday nights away from me.
No, you got Tuesday night. You got Wednesday night.
How are we going out Tuesday night?
I'm not going out Tuesday and Wednesday.
You got Saturday night.
I love how I just put myself as going out. How are we going out? I don't go out.
I'm not going out Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night.
So you feel like, Smalls, just to understand something, you feel like your Fridays and sometimes Saturdays are completely off limits in the fall.
Saturdays are not off limits. They're owned by college football.
Meaning off limits.
Friday night is all I have to hang on to.
I agree
with
you.
It's the only me time I have in the fall.
Here's the thing. Who says you got to go out on Friday night? You can make it a Friday early afternoon, I mean early evening, late afternoon date?
My friends who work until a certain time on Friday have something to say.
I'm with Smalls. I have no interest in this becoming
a thing.
I
love a Friday afternoon nap after the show to gear up to go out on Friday night.
I'm all in on having football on Fridays.
I'll take every day.
I'll take NFL football on Friday.
I will not. I'll take every day at 5 p.m. Eastern, though, if you want. A 5 p.m. Eastern game, I'm good on. That I'm
7 days a week.
On Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, I'm good. You want to do that? Done by 8:30. We know what we're talking about the next day. Everybody's watching. I'm good on that. Friday nights, no thank you.
I don't know. I think part of the NFL's popularity is that they basically own one day, even though they have games on other days. And when you think about baseball, NBA, NHL, a lot of that is that people can't lock in every single day. They have lives, they have obligations, responsibilities, they have work. It's hard to really be committed to that type of a schedule. And I think the more the NFL spreads it out, it's going to be harder for people to be consistently committed.
I don't think they have any problem when it comes to ratings on Black Friday when they have those games, or ratings when they have them Christmas Day on a Friday.
But those are standard
Wednesday this year.
I don't think it matters, which is though.
Nuts.
I don't think it matters with the NFL. Whatever day the NFL plays is going to draw a huge crowd.
Yeah, they are.
It doesn't
kings
matter.
And all of this.
It doesn't matter.
At the top of the hierarchy.
Like, we
the
have to learn, like, it just does not matter. The NFL has gotten to the point now where it's too big to fail.
They're bulletproof, it's, like UConn?
Even more so. Even more so.
I mean, I'm with Smalls, though. I hope this is a one-off in Brazil, Eagles-Packers to start the season on that Friday night. The problem is, if it works.
It's a test balloon. If it works. Stick their finger in the wind, see which way it's blowing.
I'm going to have to just go out saying. With Small. I'm going out with my wife and I are coming out with you on Friday night, Small. Just to protest
this. Just go out early. Make it a late afternoon, early Friday night dinner and call it a day. You get back in the house by 7:30 to watch kickoff. Done.
Canty, people have real jobs where, you know, and
so we don't have a real job.
I mean, listen,
saying.
You're talking
so
about
you,
taking
so
a nap.
So we don't have a real job.
I still can't believe he naps
so
during the game.
So we don't have a real
now
job.
Now I know why your family thinks you don't have a real job, because you're napping while you're supposed to be watching football.
That's the biggest revelation of all this. I am stunned by this.
I'm sorry you don't have dinner with your family.
All right, enough of that. What are you looking at? I see what you're looking at.
There's a picture of my former teammate Terrell Suggs on your screen. I don't understand why.
Why are we looking at Terrell Suggs?
I have no idea.
I have no choice now but to read this. I follow TMZ on Twitter. Terrell Suggs got arrested for assault in Arizona. Why did I have to just do
that? Because Pat Costello was trying to squat in his house.
That's right.
Now that's funny. We're on Sports for Like on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
Okay, I'm upset after what happened last night.
What happened?
Not sure if you guys stayed up to watch it, but of course we took the Minnesota Timberwolves. We laid the 12.5 points, and they ended up only winning by 9. But the way that we lost the cover last night was absolutely ridiculous. 30 seconds to go. The Washington Wizards decide to empty their bench. On comes Jules Bernard.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. It's
JB.
Jules Bernard. Two layups in the last 30 seconds to screw up what was a comfortable cover late in the fourth quarter for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Unbelievable, the fact that we lost that one that way. It sucks. Rudy Gobert did his job. The guy had, what, 19 points and 16 boards or whatever it was? Absolutely dominant. Absolutely dominant. And yet, we screwed up an opportunity to make some money with our parlay, but we're going to go back to the well, back to the association, and back to the Timberwolves game.
Ooh.
But I'm going to make this a Canty can't lose, Evan. because you're the one that's always saying I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves fan.
You are too.
So second night of a back-to-back, I'm actually going to roll with the Denver Nuggets because Minnesota is playing at altitude. So give me Denver on the money line tonight. And oh, by the way, give me Jokic to log a triple-double tonight. That two-leg parlay pays out at plus 268.
Survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, I'll stay with basketball here, at least to start in the NBA. The Bulls last night had a moment that was truly a remarkable moment in the history of the NBA. Yes, in the history of the NBA. That's how bad this was. The Knicks beat the Bulls 128-117. And Torrey Craig and the Chicago Bulls had a three-on-none fast break with Andre Drummond trailing and Kobe White to the side of him on his right. Torrey Craig threw the ball off of the backboard trying to dunk it himself like a dunk contest, and Andre Drummond thought the pass was to him and basically knocked Torrey Craig out of the way because they both tried to dunk it and they missed. Somehow you had a three-on-none fast break with a block and a foul by your own team.
Clown show. I don't even know what you call this.
It's so hard to pull off.
It's an absolute embarrassment. And here's the thing. I don't get it. The Chicago Bulls are capable of some great moments because we've seen them upset some good teams throughout the course of this regular season. And yet, they're also capable of doing something like that. The opposite end of the spectrum. The opposite end of great, which is an all-time gaffe. You want to talk about not top 10 on SportsCenter? That is number one on not top 10 on SportsCenter.
You know, there are those moments where you look back at to a picture or a video and you're like, all right, that's when things change. The one I always go back to is the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant argument with the game against the LA Clippers. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, all right, well, that's when it kind of ended. We even talked about the idea when Steph Curry had his hand in his head in his jersey this year.
With
had a disappointment with Draymond getting kicked out after 4 minutes. That may be the moment that Billy Donovan takes a job at Kentucky. That attempt.
That's if they call him. That's if they reach out to him.
If they call him.
That's
I don't know. Who are they calling if they're not calling him?
I might want to get on the phone.
We know that Danny Hurley is not going to take the call. So we have two Hurley moments that are unsportsmanlike moments, at least speculative on one. Smalls, you are speculating, unsportsmanlike moment, that when Danny Hurley tells Pat McAfee that his phone was broken if Kentucky was trying to call, you don't believe that his phone was broken. Is that correct?
Come on. Your phone's broken. In today's day and age, people can't survive without their phones. If your phone was broken, I'm sure there's someone on the staff that could go to Apple and get it fixed for you.
Well, if he really is Harbaugh, like we've compared, Seth Greenberg came in here and said it. We've said it since then. Couldn't you see Jim Harbaugh having a broken phone and never getting it fixed?
No.
Really?
No.
If there's one person I could see doing it, it's Harbaugh.
Okay. Do you have a regular alarm? Because I don't have an alarm. My phone's my alarm.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that you need your phone for on a day-to-day basis, not just to be able to text or receive calls.
Yeah, your phone is your wallet, too, in a lot of instances, too. Yeah, so
I just can't see someone having any chill about that if their phone is broken, despite the circumstances around them, despite being in the tournament, that you're just going to push that off for later.
If I told you one person in sports did not own a cell phone, who would it be?
That's interesting question. One.
Think about that as I give you the next one.
I would say Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wait a minute. Go deeper on that.
The cell phone signals is bad for you?
He would say something about the radio waves, the Wi-Fi is bad for you. He went into the darkness and realized he doesn't need a phone. He's doing a digital detox. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Digital detox.
That's funny.
I could see that. I could ask.
That is actually believable.
I could absolutely see that.
Last year he went into the
digital detox.
I was on ayahuasca and I just had a moment where I realized I'm too connected to my phone. As a society, we are too reliant on technology, and I'm leading the charge for a digital detox of America.
I just got this image of Greg Popovich having the phone that has the huge text message font trying to read it and him adjusting his glasses trying to see what somebody texted him.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And you got to point, exactly. Right? Yeah. You do the points.
Holding it with one hand, right, using the pointer finger with the other one.
I'll put that out on Twitter at EPCO Radio and on Sports ESPN. The one person in sports that you don't think would own a phone. I don't know that anyone is going to top what Smalls said. All right, my last thing here on Sportsmanlike Moments. Credit to Smalls who found this. Bobby Hurley, Arizona State head coach, revealed over the last few days that he doesn't eat on game days. Does not eat. I want to make myself suffer and sacrifice by before I go out there and perform. I fast on game days. You're giving me a look, Cece. Explain.
I mean, suffer and sacrifice. Why?
I mean, he's probably eating at the nicest restaurant in Arizona after the game. But
why and for what though?
Yeah,
like,
for
it's
what?
Not, it's not like you're the one that's out there going out there and playing. Like, most of the work that you're doing as a coach is done by the time you get to game day. Your team needs to be prepared. Now, I know there are always in-game adjustments, but dog, go ahead and have something to eat. It's okay.
Snacks are cool.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, you're probably going to be better, more aware, more in tune, can be more clear-minded if you've actually eaten something.
Yeah, you can make the argument that you're better at your job when you're satiated.
Yeah, exactly. Just saying.
Did you have any weird pregame routines like that? Not that you wouldn't eat, but I'm saying, did you have any rituals or routines?
No, I'm not Willie Beeman. I'm not throwing up before the game. No.
Willie Beeman.
No.
Same shirt underneath ever or no?
No, I didn't do that.
Same meal, nothing?
Same meal, yeah. Like, there would be similar things. Like, if we had a 1 o'clock kickoff, I would eat breakfast food, probably have an omelet, maybe some toast. If we're having a 4 o'clock kickoff or an 8 o'clock kickoff.
You may take a nap.
I'm probably going to have some chicken breast. Oh, there's a nap involved. Oh. Like game day is a lot of sleeping going on.
So you haven't changed the nap on Sundays.
No,
we know that.
The nap is still going to be there. But, I mean, yeah, you'd have the same things that you would eat because you know what your body can tolerate getting ready for a game. But not eating at all?
Smalls, that is you wild. Barely eat. I mean, is this?
Barely eat. I'm eating now more than ever. I'm starving all the time. I'm working out twice a day.
Well, in comparison to how much effort you put into the workouts, you're not eating that much. You don't eat. Don't you do this?
She doesn't have an eating disorder, Evan.
I
she
didn't
just
say
works
that.
Out.
Yeah, I eat, Evan.
Right, she eats.
No, he's saying she goes hard when she's working out and burning all those calories.
Thank
That's
you.
What he's saying.
I'm eating nonstop. I do intermittent fasting is what
okay,
I think you're
then
suggesting.
I'm confused by this.
I do a 16-hour fast every day. That's my diet on 75 Hard is I do intermittent fasting.
Does that motivate
you? So that might not be different from what Bobby Hurley is
That's
doing.
That's what I'm
right
saying.
Yeah.
Does it motivate
you? No, because
I eat
at some portion during the day, and it sounds like he's not eating all day long until
like
after
he's
the game.
Until after the game.
Yeah,
but does
I
that
can't
help
that.
You at all with your workouts and stuff?
No, I wouldn't say it helps. It all definitely right. helps with your body and your diet. But.
So Hurley's just a weirdo is what we're saying. All right, anyway, Greeny coming up next.
Yes,
we're on
right.
to Thursday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.